Welcome to the Invisible Church Podcast. I'm Pastor Tim Smith of St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Ulm, Minnesota. In this installment, we're continuing our look at day six of creation, but we're taking a step outside of the text to look at the creation of angels. Good evening, everybody. Welcome. We are... We started Genesis a couple weeks ago. We've been 3 weeks on chapter one in technically six pieces. We're recording a podcast here also, so we divide them into half-hour segments. And this evening we're going to look at angels and dinosaurs. And I noticed in reading for this different opinions. I don't know why I bothered, but I did, about such things. And I found something very interesting. People who believe in angels are often uncomfortable talking about dinosaurs, and people who believe in evolution are often uncomfortable talking about angels. I don't know if there's something to that or not, but we're going to talk about both of them in the context of God's Word. And we're going to begin this evening with angels. And first of all, a syllogism, which is two true points that lead us to a logical conclusion. So the first point is that angels did not exist before the creation. God made everything in the 6 days of creation. Prior to that, God was God alone in eternity. That's John chapter 1. The second point is that angels were not created after the 6 days of creation, because after the 6 days, we'll read in chapter 2, that God rested from all his work. So although God is still providing for us, remember we confess he still preserves me, providing me with clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, land and cattle and so forth. He does not create new. He does fashion some things, but doesn't create anything new. For example, when Moses called for water in the desert, what did God do? He called water out of the rock. Didn't have to make a new stream, but a stream isn't really a new creation. No, Moses was supposed to touch it or call it, but he hid it, and that's what kept him out of the promised land, actually. It was his choice there. Yeah, good memory there, Darren. So following these two truths, that angels did not exist prior to the creation and did not get created after the 6 days, therefore, what's my therefore going to say? Absolutely. Yeah, therefore the angels were created sometime during the 6 days. And if we want to ask which day, we have to be honest and say Scripture does not say, not directly. But I did want to share some things with you about this. We're going to begin with this, with Luther. Luther said this: not one word is found in all the Scriptures concerning there, that is the angels, creation. Not their battle or their fall, except that one word of Christ, John 8:44. Before I turn the slide and we read John 8:44, I want to point out that we're going to read about the battle and the fall of the angels from Revelation in a little bit. So is Luther overstating his case a little bit? I think he's saying that John 8:44 is the key verse. And this is it: Jesus' judgment of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So that's God's own judgment assessment of the devil. That's pretty serious, isn't it? Luther goes on to say, it is wonderful. I think we would probably translate Luther with amazing. It is amazing that Moses is wholly silent on things of such great interest. You know, we want to know more about the angels. We want to know about their creation. Did God form them from the mist or something? Or did God simply breathe? And there doesn't say. Doesn't say. We don't know. John Gerhardt, Lutheran pastor and professor, profound theologian and dogmatician of the 1600s, 17th century, Gerhardt said, On which day the angels were created is a question more subtle than useful. There are lots of points like that that you can think of. There were old questions that monks used to ask each other. How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? What's the correct answer? Who cares? Good job, Lynn. Yeah. All of them? None of them? Why would they need to? You know, so that's a very good question. From our catechism, it is comforting to know. This is Pastor Gauzowitz from Grace, Milwaukee. It is comforting to know that God's angels protect me because they are a very large number of powerful spirits who constantly watch over me. How many guardian angels do you have? Well, in some days 10, other days 100. Yeah. The Bible never talks about guardian angels in the singular. It's always let your holy angels be with me, always in the plural. Luther in the evening prayer, which I almost quoted there a second ago, says holy angel in the singular, but the scriptures say angels. Are not angels ministering spirits from Hebrews 1 and so forth.
It's interesting that they're powerful spirits. Mm-hmm. And that's how I imagine them. Now,
yeah.
As a child, if you think of these little fat babies, you know, like you see in ornaments and whatever.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Kath got a letter in the mail today from some, I think it's a Roman Catholic fundraiser for children, underprivileged children. It gave us a gold-plated coin with a little fat angel on the face that said, think of this when you think of the child you've helped, you know, tugging at the heartstrings. When I first came to town, we had a problem with New Ulm Medical Center. Once in a while, you'd come and there would be an emergency and I'd get called late at night. Would you come in? A family has a child that's very ill or something like that. And I'd get there and a couple times a little baby had died in the ER. And the first thing that happens, I walk in the ER, and the nurse, who's been doing my job for me, turns to me and says, well, the little baby is an angel now. Isn't that right, Pastor? Well, okay, is that the moment, for the family's sake, that I should correct the nurse's faulty theology? No, but I did. The couple times that it did happen, I did talk to that nurse later. That's not the time and place. I would always say something like, actually, the child is much better off than an angel. And then talk about the resurrection and the confidence we have in Christ and so forth. But I always told the nurses, don't give me false doctrine to lead with here. We don't become angels in heaven. Our souls go to heaven, but that doesn't mean that we become angels. And if that's a problem for you, I would tell the nurse, never watch It's a Wonderful Life ever again, as long as you live. Ringing the bell, exactly. Yes, our souls go to heaven, but we are human beings. We are different from the angels.
How can we get to heaven without wings? We have to fly up.
We will be carried into heaven. Yeah, exactly, Darren, without wings. Then Revelation 5:11. I looked and heard the voice of many angels numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000. This is not a Greek math problem. Okay, you don't have to multiply 10,000 times 10, which is, by the way, how many? 10,000 has how many zeros?
Six.
Remember how to do that kind of math. So how many zeros does 10,000 times 10,000 have? Eight. How many is that? 100 million? Is that what that adds out to do? 10 million? Yeah. But that's not the problem. 100 million. Yeah. That's not the math here. The point is, let's do little kid numbers instead. What would a child say is the number of angels? Lots or a what? Zillion? A bajillion? A gazillion? Yeah, too many to count. That's the correct theological answer, Darren. Excellent. Too many to count. Yeah. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones. There it is again, Harry. You mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. How do the angels get out of heaven to do God's bidding?
God orders them.
God sends them. How do they get back in? They have to go the same way we do. Jesus says in John 14, no one comes to the Father except through me.
Through the gate.
He's the gate for the angels too. No one comes to the Father except through me. In the Old Testament, we have that picture of Jacob's ladder with the angels ascending and descending on the ladder, or the, as my grandpa Frank used to say, that 30-foot extension ladder. Clack, 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 clack. You know, there it goes up. Or Jacob's, or the stairway to heaven. And what does Jesus say about it? The angels are ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The ladder in the dream is Christ. So he is the way in and out of heaven. When the angels leave heaven, it's at Christ's bidding to do Christ's work. When they get back in, it's because they have accomplished Christ's work through him. So I don't know whether that's the same door we use, or if that's, you know, the other gate or the screen door or what have you, or if they have a little kiddie door. I don't know. I don't imagine the angel Gabriel zooming through the kiddie door or something like that in heaven. That's for my pet Jack, who's in heaven now.
Really yeah. Get into wanting to talk about angels and so mm-hmm. on. I get that, but that's a piece I've never heard.
Me either.
Never heard that.
Oh, that they go through Christ. He's the way.
I thought they were free to go anywhere.
At his bidding only. What they do because God sent them to do it. Yeah, they are messengers. In the same sense as apostle, really. To go out on a mission with authority, but only that mission. Not free to roam. Yeah, yeah. No, don't pray to your angels. If an angel talks to you, you can, you know, answer. If your angel ever did speak to you, what do you think the first thing it would say to you would be?
Get out.
Or no, get off your knees and stop being afraid. That's what the angels always say to people. One angel in particular, Gabriel, who speaks in the Old and New Testament, has a familiar phrase he used with Daniel and with Mary. Seems like every time he talks to somebody, what does Gabriel say? You are highly favored. That's Gabriel talking to Daniel and Mary. You are highly favored. So, yeah. And then do not be afraid. They all kind of say that. They've all got to say that. And so once in a while, they have to say to wonderful saints and apostles, they have to say, don't worship me, dummy. You know, worship God alone. 2 Peter 2, these men, the people Peter's writing about, are not afraid to slander celestial beings, yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. The angels hold their tongues. Maybe we ought to hold our tongues too. That's Peter's point. And then, Hebrews 1, I already quoted that. Angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Luke, Jesus said, this is Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What do you think that looked like?
Fast.
Also bright, I think. Yeah, fast. There's energy in lightning. There's all kinds of ways to think about that. But it was bright. It was visible to all, a public. Ouster of Satan. Let's look at Revelation here. And there was war in heaven. In the Greek text that we use, if I remember rightly, there's a paragraph break there, which makes you stop and think, what is John leaving out? You know, but there is war in heaven. Michael, who's Michael?
Archangel.
The archangel, the captain of the angels, the brigadier of the angels, whatever he is. Mikael is a question. Who is like God? That's what Michael means. It's a wonderful question, wonderful name. Who is as awesome as God? Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. Here's the war Luther was talking about. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down. That ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray, he was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. That's exciting stuff. Have you read Milton? Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. Regained is an amazing poem about the resurrection, the cross. And Paradise Lost is about the fall. And in Paradise Lost, the Lucifer says kind of famously as he's falling, it is better to rule in hell than to serve in heaven. But here, hurled to the earth, angels with him. Anything else before we go here into Ezekiel briefly? Anything else about the angels? Go ahead, Harry.
So I'm thinking somewhere between God rested the seventh day and Eve being tempted, somewhere in between there, however long that was.
Absolutely. I can even. Yeah, the fall of the angels when they, that became demons happens after the seventh day, but it happens. Let's remember something about Adam and Eve. God told them to be fruitful and multiply. Before Eve is pregnant with Cain, the fall has happened, and that's the point I think about when people ask how long did it take. They were under a command by God to start having babies. And so when would Eve have begun having babies?
Within a year, maybe.
Oh, I think her first menstrual cycle. You know? I mean, why? You know, I think the first month, you know, or a month after she's created. It's not a long time between their creation, I think. But yeah, we certainly can say not very long, maybe a year or two, but I think probably just weeks or even days. And for the devil to fall, probably Eve is tempted, what, the day or the day after the devil fell? Very, very soon. Herb, you got a question or a comment? The seventh day.
How do we know that it wasn't before?
Because on the seventh day, God saw that the whole creation was very good. There's nothing evil in the whole of creation. That's a fantastic question I should have covered. Yeah. God looks at the creation on the seventh day. Yeah, on the other days, he concludes by saying the Hebrew word tov, which means good. And then on the seventh day, he says tov ma'od. Very good. So God's stamp on the creation itself. Everything was very good. And then after that, it goes to pot very fast. Yeah.
Really fast.
Mm-hmm.
The devil did not exist prior to her falling?
No, the devil existed. He was a created angel. That's the fall. When the devil himself falls, there are two falls. The fall of the wicked angels, the devil is their captain. And then later when he tempts Adam and Eve. So that's the fall of man.
So his sin preceded.
His sin preceded that of Adam and Eve. Yeah. But since we're not created in his likeness or conceived in his likeness, that didn't affect us. Except that he tempted them. Yeah. Yeah.
Pastor?
Yes, Judy.
Would you talk, because I don't know about this, and I read reference to it, uh-huh. Would you talk about the two trees in the garden?
Oh, we're not there yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, we're nowhere near that yet. Yep. We have finished chapter 1, and we are pausing before we go to chapter 2.
Oh.
So we're not even to the fall yet. Yep.
Yep,
we've only briefly mentioned that man was created, but we haven't even seen God taking, what does the song say? 100 pounds of clay going on. I should sing next time. So we're not even there yet.
Okay.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the trees. I do want to read this, although I want to just give you this caveat. Our Lutheran fathers never quote Ezekiel 28 when talking about the fall of the evil angels, okay? So this is not quoted by Luther, Chemnitz, Catreus, Gerhardt, not even Heinecke or Francis Pieper or any of them, okay? So... for one thing, it's printed on your sheet. And for another thing, I'm about to show it all on the screen with underlinings. So here we go. Ezekiel is being used by the Lord to condemn the city of Tyre. That's what this is. Do you know about the city of Tyre? Tyre and Sidon are those two cities on the coast of what we would call Lebanon, where Klinger is from in MASH. Okay, and by the way, they begin with the same Hebrew letter, Sade. One is pronounced with a T and one with an S. It shows the diversity of, Hebrew has four S sounds, Sin, Shin, Samek, and Sade. And these two begin with, if you're going to go for it, you may as well go for it, you know.
That's right.
And only 22 letters and four of them are S, two of them are T, and no vowels though. And Tyre was out in the Mediterranean. It's an island. And so the people of Tyre would run out to their island in their boats, call up the drawbridge or what have you, and they're safe from everyone, right? They were arrogant about their safety. And then after Ezekiel's time, about 150, 200 years, a guy named Alexander the Great showed up with an army. And the people of Tyre were mocking him and laughing at him. And Alexander went over. I don't know exactly what he did. I think he conquered a city and reduced it to rubble. And then he made every one of his soldiers pick up a rock. And they started to throw them into the Mediterranean one after another toward the island out a mile. And the people laughed and laughed and laughed. And then they realized it's going to work. They could see the seabed growing shallower and shallower with all the garbage and stones Alexander's army kept throwing in every day for a year. And after a while, there's a bridge out to Tyre. Today, the causeway, Alexander left the causeway. There's nothing left of the city. But Alexander wanted the causeway as a reminder to everybody, even to us. Thank you, Alex. Appreciate that. So the city of Tyre, this is Ezekiel's condemnation to the king of Tyre. But notice the prophet seems to flip back and forth between the king of Tyre and somebody else, which happens sometimes in prophecies. You're talking about him, but you're talking about him. In some of David's Psalms, you're talking about maybe Solomon, but then who are you really talking about?
Himself?
No. David talks about his son Solomon, but also his son Jesus. Yeah, David... The Lord said to my Lord, and so forth. So like Psalm 10 and whatnot. But this is Ezekiel talking about the king of Tyre and ... I'll leave the ellipsis, hang there for a moment and read. You were the model of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Beautiful stones. If you saw a beach like that, would you start filling your pockets? Every precious stone adorned you, Ezekiel says. And he gives us a list of 9, 3 by 3 different stones. Ruby, topaz, and emerald, chrysolite, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and beryl. Jaspers. I think as a kid I would have called a jasper a cat's eye and so forth. You recognize some of these? Sapphire, those are beautiful blue, aren't they? Isn't that right? Okay. Your settings and mountings were made of gold. On the day you were created, they were prepared. What day were the beautiful stones created? When did they come up out of the water?
Second day.
No. TJ? Third day. Second day, God separates water from water. Third day, he separates water from land. So third day. You were anointed as a guardian cherub, for so I ordained you. You were on the holy mount of God. You walked among the fiery stones. What's a cherub? Harry, you should answer this. You were talking about it earlier. What's a cherub?
Little fat baby
angel, right? With a harp and probably a banner covering up its private parts, right? That's a cherub. No, cherub is the Hebrew word for this. There we go. What's that?
Light.
That's glowing. It's a light from inside a lampshade. It's glowing. Charav, it's to glow. If you turn on a hurricane lamp and put the shade over the top, it glows, right? The other type of angel in the same category is seraph. Seraph is not a glowing angel. It's so hot that it's actually started on fire. It's ignited.
If you look at some fish, you know, in a tank, and you turn the light on, they seem to glow.
Yeah, they get brighter, don't they? Yeah. So cherubim are glowing, maybe noticeable, the radiant ones. Isaiah is the only person in the Bible who mentions or sees the seraphim. Remember where Isaiah's seraphim were flying? It's around the throne of God. It's Isaiah 6. And they're the ones who sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." It's a
Revelation.
No, it's in Isaiah 6. Yeah, a little Trinitarian reference there in Isaiah. To go on here, you were blameless in your ways from the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Through your widespread trade, you were filled with violence and you sinned. That kind of sounds like the king of Tyre. Who is the other guy?
Sidon. You said the king of Tyre.
Sounds, well, no, till wickedness was found in you.
Jesus. Lucifer.
No, I think it's the devil. I think Ezekiel's talking about the fall of the devil. You were blameless until wickedness was found in you, and you sinned. So I drove you in disgrace from the mount of God, and I expelled you, O guardian cherub, from among the fiery stones. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. Solomon in the Proverbs, or is it Ecclesiastes, says, "Pride goes before the fall." So I threw you to the earth. I made a spectacle of you before kings. This is a meteorite falling in slow motion here. I got a better picture of one in a minute. By your many sins and dishonest trade, you have desecrated your sanctuaries. That sounds again like we've gone back to the king of Tyre maybe. But then he says, so I made a fire come out from you and it consumed you and I reduced you to ashes on the ground in the sight of all who were watching. This video is of a meteorite falling in Russia. Somebody was driving down the road and a meteorite fell right in front of them. They held up their lift up their camera and recorded.
Is that Siberia?
Not this one. This is a little bit south of there, but the prophet finishes here. All the nations who knew you are appalled at you. You have come to a horrible end and will be no more. So judgment on the king of Tyre sounds a little bit like the judgment on the devil as well. I wouldn't say that this is necessarily only or primarily about the devil, but it sure sounds a lot like the judgment of the devil as the Lord blasts the king of Tyre here back in the 500s BC in Ezekiel's time during the exile. Let me pause there. Lynn, anything else about the angels? I would say they did, but...
And did they witness the fall?
Adam and Eve?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll have to ask the Lord. I wouldn't be surprised if they had witnessed the fall. You know, if it was that spectacular, you know, like a meteor or a comet or something falling to the earth, you know, then maybe they did. Bill, then Harry. Yeah.
Why is that a big fight? He's a creature.
Yeah.
Why would God, if he left a little figure, he would kill him because he's a creation.
Yeah, and
versus something he created.
Yeah, we'll come to that another time, but you're right. He is a creation. And actually the battle will be done before it starts. If a last battle actually masses, God says it'll never even happen, because he'll bring about the end in time for us. Harry?
I asked you this once before, but I can't remember your answer about Michael and the angels that remained faithful, if you will. Obviously, there was some sort of will that there could sin be found in his created angel, but now the rest can't or don't sin?
The angels are now confirmed, is the word we use. And there's a passage about this, in either their holiness or their sinfulness. The wicked angels will continue to be wicked, okay? So that actually is an answer to one of my childhood prayers. I prayed that God would forgive the devil and his demons and bring them back into heaven. I thought that might end sin in the world. Oops, I was an 8-year-old trying to take over Jesus' job there. I remember actually praying once, if it would be your will, you could send me to hell forever. And if the devil and the angels and all the people in hell could go to heaven. That's not the best prayer for an 8-year-old boy to pray, but I did once. Fortunately, Jesus had already accomplished all that and God forgave me the prayer. So I appreciate that. But I was a deep thinking kid. TJ?
It's just an aside. I said, well, I asked God when you get to heaven.
Yeah. I think one of the joys of heaven will be talking about stuff, even if we do know the answer. My wife knows every story I'm ever going to tell already, but she's patient with me while I tell them again. Bill.
In answer to that, isn't it when we are in heaven, we will know a lot, but we will still not be God? We won't know.
Yeah, that's a very good answer, too. Yeah, we still won't be God, and we'll have parts of his will revealed to us. By the way, I wanted to finish something for you, Harry, and then I'm just going to pause. Our good angels, our guardian angels, will not fall. No, they won't suddenly turn on you and become demons. You probably never worried about that, and I have put the thought into your head. I'm sorry, but it won't happen. It won't happen. They're confirmed in their holiness, so they have an estate that they cannot leave, just as we will in heaven. Will be confirmed in our holiness in heaven. You won't be able to fall into sin or temptation once there.
And that is something I can't get my brain.
Yeah. I want to flip to our next piece, but any oh, Herb, one last piece here.
Is it safe to say that angels had a free will?
They did.
As man?
They did. Now they don't.
No, but I mean
right.
When they were created.
Right. Yeah. They were passe non peccare, able not to sin, in theological Latin terms. Now the evil angels are non passe non peccare, not able not to sin. They have to sin all the time. And the good angels are non passe peccare, not able to sin, as we will be in heaven. There's why use English if Latin will do. So, when I was a vicar, Mark Jeske said that in a circuit meeting once. I've never forgotten it, back when he was still in the parish. All right.